God and you reign from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God, you're an awesome God. Our God, you're an awesome God. And you reign from heaven above. And you reign on this earth. And it's all in your hands, Lord. It's all in your hands. And I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. And the Lord says, where you been? I've been looking to hear from you. I've been looking to hear from you. I'm always ready to hear from you. I'm never too busy to hear from you. Where you been? Why haven't you been talking to me? Why haven't you been listening to me? For our God, you're an awesome God and you reign from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God, you're an awesome God. Our God, you're an awesome God. Yes, you are. Not just a awesome God. Not just an awesome God. You are the awesome God. You are the only true God. All others are false idols. Men are washing themselves in the wrong stream. Men are worshiping the wrong God. You're the true God. And your stream flows. The blood of Christ washes away every sin. That's the only stream that will wash away the dirt of this world. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm always doing historical research along with, you know, modern things. We sing modern choruses, and I like to sing some of the old songs too. This one comes from a hymn number 9 in Isaac Watts' hymn book. Isaac Watts, of course, was a hymn writer way back. The saints shall mount on eagle's wings and taste the promised bliss, till their unwearied feet arrive where perfect pleasure is. Now shall my inward joys arise and burst into a song. Almighty love inspire my heart, and pleasure times my tongue. And pleasure tunes my tongue. God on his thirsty Sion hill some mercy drops has thrown, and solemn oaths have bound his love to throw salvation down. Why do we then indulge our fears, suspicions, and complaints? Is he a God? And shall his grace grow weary of his saints? Can a kind woman e'er forget the infant of her womb? Among a thousand tender thoughts, her suckling have no room? Yet faith the Lord should nature change, and mothers prove. Sion still dwells upon the heart of everlasting love. Deep on the palms of both my hands, I have engraved her name. My hands shall raise her ruined walls and build her broken frame. Wow. I had a little trouble reading it because it's old typeface where S's and F's and so forth get kind of hard to read, but I've read so much of this stuff that it can a little slower at reading it than regular, but I can still make it out. Plus, this is not the clearest type that I made the duplicate of it. Why do we then indulge our fears, suspicions, and complaints? Is he a god? And shall his grace grow weary of his saints? Yeah. Yet faith the Lord, should nature change? And mothers, monitors prove. Zion still dwells upon the heart of everlasting love. Holy Spirit, thank you for being our teacher. We love you. Too often we say we love God the Father, we love God the Son, and sometimes forget to mention how much we love you, too, because you are much more of the silent witness, so to speak. We'd know nothing, we'd understand nothing truly of God's grace if it weren't for you. So we thank you as we go to the Word of God today, that we will be taught by you, that we will understand who we are, where we came from, where we are, and where we're going, and that the fears that we so naturally have, that you will help us to put those to rest, at least for today. And we thank you that as we study the Word of God, that we would plant it deep down in our heart. We know that you want to do that if we let you, if we open the door. So we open the door of our hearts, plant your Word, dear God Almighty, in our hearts. And always we have learned to pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. What I want to share today, I want us to look at from the 1 Peter chapter 4. 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 Just having come back, of course, from teaching at Camp Constitution, which not only do we spend time with the kids there of various ages, but also with the adults, the leaders, and so forth, and around table fellowship, lunch, dinner, whatever, breakfast, and other times, a lot of things were being discussed. One of my greatest concerns is that when we're in fellowship with other people, that and we're taking that time, that instead of hearing about all the fears and the doubts and all the terrible things that are happening in the world, and one person that was there, and where I said, you know, it appears to me you spend an awful lot of time studying all the things that the enemy's doing, but you're not studying all the things that the Lord is doing. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants to capture our attention so that, you know, just the same as I've heard police reports of somebody comes and rings your front doorbell and engages you in conversation while their burglary partner's at the back door breaking in and stealing your stuff, taking it out the back door while you're at the front door. Well, the enemy of our souls works the same way. And so many of the things that are being revealed right now seem so distressing, but we shouldn't really be distressed because, as we studied, I believe last time we were together, where sin abounds, grace the more abounds, but also we shouldn't be distressed because light and darkness are being separated. I've shared the epiphany, if you will, that I had there when we spoke in Berwick, Maine, and had the one loaf and the one cup. I've shared that with a number of people. as an encouragement to know that the Lord is truly, as that good shepherd, gathering his flock together. And you'd be surprised who is in his flock. Some of the people you think are in his flock are not in his flock. And some of the people you think are not in his flock are. So he's gathering them together. He's gathering all of us together. We call them the remnant, or his remnant saints, or the saints of God together. We sing about that all when the saints of God meet together and the glory of the Lord has arisen amongst you. The Lord is showing us things. He's separating light from darkness. He's showing us where darkness has been hiding out. He's showing us who can be trusted and who can't be trusted. And so the law of unintended consequences is such that many people are doing things that they don't expect are going to happen the way that they're happening. But the Lord is still sovereign. We have to remember that. You know, we don't know what days we face ahead. Many people are saying you better be prepared because, you know, after September 1st, it's really going to be trouble. Or in the middle of September, trouble's going to come. You know, you read the news reports of going on what happened in Chattanooga, Tennessee, or, you know, it's happened here and there and so forth. There's always something going on. Maybe in the history of the world, there's always been something like that going on somewhere. But we didn't have the news media to instantaneously report it to us and show it to us in living color to strike fear in our hearts. Many times things had happened people didn't even know about, you know. But at the same time, as we're looking at that, the Lord wants us to be reminded that he's separating light from darkness. But also the thing that I think is starting to come about, and I think it's sort of a good theme for us today, is the Lord is revealing who is with him and who isn't. He's revealing who's with him and who isn't. And as I've often said, I don't expect the Lord to come to me. I go to him. I don't expect him to be on my side. I need to find out what side he's on and be on his side. Be with him. Jesus didn't say, by the way, I will follow you. Remember that? Jesus said, what? Come, follow me. He didn't say, oh, where are you going? I will follow you. But that's the way many people live their lives. Okay, God, this is what I'm going to do. Okay, Heavenly Father, this is what I'm going to do. Will you bless that? Will you come follow me, Jesus, and make sure that I'm kept safe and make sure that my every dream and my every goal is fulfilled? But that's not the way that it works. And we're going to see more and more of that as the Lord revealing himself and showing up in the, his almighty power. And that's why, as we sang earlier, said, keep in mind, he is not just mighty. He's almighty. He's not just powerful. He's all-powerful. He's just not governor over a state. He's the governor of the universe. He is the supreme ruler. And not as a benevolent dictator, not as a dictator at all, not as a tyrant, but as one that says, legitimately, this world and everything in it belongs to me. And so, there are many people that are going to be quite surprised when they find out. And Jesus put it this way also, he said, many call upon my name and say, Lord, Lord, but I knew them not. I find those kind of scriptures very, very convicting. What do you mean by that? And he also said to his disciples, we're going to try to stop somebody, a group of people, from doing something that Jesus certainly taught and was doing. He said, don't stop them, because even those that are not necessarily part of our group, if they're not against us, they're for us. And so the Lord is sorting that out right now. He's finding out, and he's letting us see who's on the Lord's side. Who's on the Lord's side? And it's a big surprise finding out who's not on the Lord's side of people and the whole organizations that are not on the Lord's side. They're on their own side. And see, some of the persecutions that we've recently, if you want to call them persecutions, and when you talk to a Chinese Christian or you know, somebody in Eastern Europe or anything, in or some parts of Africa and South America, and you talked about persecution, being ridiculed, even being fined or whatever else is not, in their eyes, persecution. You know, where they've had to bleed and die and lose everything and so forth and so on. So we're really not facing persecution per se. We're just facing a distress in this country that's unusual for America and unusual for Christians in America. But the good thing that will come from that, and as we quote Romans 8:28, all things, and that's one of the most misquoted verses in Scripture. I hear people misquote it all the time. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. If you love God and you're called according to His purpose, no weapon formed against thee will prosper, no tongue that rises up against you will stand. Doesn't mean that it won't happen. It doesn't mean that it won't, you know, that you won't be challenged in these ways. But we're finding out who's on the Lord's side now, because many of the churches will have to stand up and say, no, we will not perform same-sex marriages. We will not take state wedding licenses. No, we will not be incorporated. No, we will not be under public policy because of any type of thing that the government wants to come up with and say, okay, you can't preach those things. You can't say those things. We're going to find out who's on the Lord's side. We're finding out very soon. Now, the interesting thing about it, why should it be that way? Why would the Lord want to make sure that we are able to see who's on the Lord's side? So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4. And Mr. Cameron, how many verses are in that chapter, please? First Peter chapter 4. You have it there? That's right. And by the way, just the same as here, we have three generations coming together to study the Word of God together there at Camp Constitution. We had about three generations. I like the multi-generational approach. I like children to be in studying with their parents and learning from their parents and their grandparents and so forth. Even if the children don't quite get it, they will get it one day, particularly if they can be in that environment. So we're a multi-generational outreach and a multi-generational gathering. Okay, so you said there's 19 verses, is that correct?
Yes.
All right. So each one of us should read 4 verses, and I will read 3. So once you start by reading the first 4 verses of 1 Peter chapter 4, okay?
Okay.
That's it. Okay.
1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1-4.
Good.
Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past
sufficient?
Suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do. Living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness,
orgies,
drinking drinking party the most? Idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery. And they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead.
Okay. All right, tell us where you just read from.
I just read from the English Standard Version, verses 1 through 5.
What chapter? 1 Peter chapter 3 or 4.
Yes, 1 Peter chapter.
It's always very important, you know, that we do that. And the reason why we do that, and I do it with adults too, is because for the most part, if you're going to read in public, if you're just reading to yourself, well, that's a different story. But you're reading in public, you want people to know where you're reading from. Just the same as, for example, if somebody is citing in court, they're citing a law. You have to give the citation. You have to give what law you're talking about, where is that found. For example, if we're talking about Constitution or something, we will say, for example, Article 3, Section 2, Paragraph 1, Line 6, or something like that, so somebody can immediately go to it. And this is powerful to do that, because we're not talking about opinions here. We're talking about the Word of God, and it's readable. It can be found where it can be found. So that's why we give the street address. We call it that, the street address, so to speak. Okay, Malia?
All right. From the King James Version, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 6 through, I guess we'll read 3.
Yeah.
6 through 9. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to the God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And that was King James Version, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 6 through 9.
Okay. So on the English Standard Version, 1 Peter 4, 10 through 12. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. So 1 Peter 4, verses 10 through 12.
The New King James Version, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. That's 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 13 through 16.
Okay, I'm reading from 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 17 from the Geneva translation. For the time is come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them which obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Praise the Lord for the reading of his word, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 through 19 from the Geneva translation. Needless to say, this chapter of Scripture has quite a number of elements. But as we're kind of focusing for the moment anyway, of saying who's on the Lord's side, the present tribulations in our country and in the world are great opportunities to show what the true church, what the true follower of Christ is all about. And of course, many people are expecting those that don't know the Lord, which of course as Psalm 2 says are the heathen, expecting them to live righteous lives and to do things rightly, and are so shocked that they're not. Why should we be shocked that people that don't know the Lord, even to the point where they have no background in the things of the Lord, why are we shocked that they would do things in a heathen, pagan, sinful, unrighteous, unfair, illegal way? Are we surprised that people would get away, would do whatever? I mean, every day you hear about somebody who's taken money unjustly, or they've taken bribes or whatever else. Well, of course, why wouldn't they? If they don't know the Lord, and they don't know the Lord's way, and they're not on the Lord's side, of course they're going to take bribes. They're going to get everything they can get, and get it now, and use it for their power, their own personal power. But the Lord sets that standard, even, of course, at the time that this passage of Scripture was given to us, from 1 Peter 4, saying the time has come, and of course, I would like to suggest that that time coming is not just for that time, but for all times. You know, the present day desire to have everything politically correct has certainly infected every aspect of our lives, and certainly has infected the church too. The Lord never wanted politically correct. He wanted these things to start. A judgment must begin at the house of God. And of course, the reason of judgment starting first there, at his household, if we can't do it right, so to speak, with God's grace and power in our lives and at his church, then how is the world ever going to do it? And how is the world ever going to get an example of what it's right to do? But many of the churches right now are going to face the situation because of the 501c3 and incorporation and state wedding licenses. They're going to have to prove what they really believe, no matter what threat is put upon them. And that's nothing new. The threats have been put upon Christians throughout the history of this world, or the history of our faith in Christ, right from Jesus' birth on. There's always been those threats, because the enemy knows if he scares people and threatens them with all kind of things, that they'll stop saying and doing what they need to say and do. So we're going to find out who's really on the Lord's side, and I'm thankful for that. Many years ago, a dear friend of mine, Handel Price, said, in the end times, and I'm not saying that necessarily in a dispensational way, what they call dispensation theology, but remember that we are not at the beginning here. We're closer to the end than we are the beginning. We are, as far as people in our mortal bodies, regardless of our age, and one day, you know, this will pass, and then we'll start a brand new beginning for eternity. But as far as the history of the world, we're closer. We're not as close to the beginning as we are to the end. And so in the dispensation of times, the time has come. Judgment must begin at the house of God. It doesn't start at the state house. Righteousness should be at the state house, because the people we elect should be doing righteous things and obeying the law. It's like the teaching that I did about the Bill of Rights, a promise that was made, a promise that is not being kept. Because our freedoms in the First Amendment, those six provisions there, one of them being freedom of religion, of course, what's called the Establishment Clause, and also freedom of speech. The government of this country is now being pressured to go into the churches and limit true Christian doctrine, true biblical doctrine. And of course, freedom of religion, as I have stated over and over again in the words of the founders, was not freedom from Christ. It's freedom to worship Him in spirit and in truth, the way we understand there are different ways that people do that. But not to inhibit in any way, or that the government was not going to establish a Christian church for the nation, so that all Christians in America will be one denomination or another. No, not that. But at the same time, to make sure that the expression of what we believe in Christ and what the Bible talks about is not going to be controlled from political correctness or whatever. So we're going to find out very soon. We're finding it out now. Who's on the Lord's side? Who's going to stand up and say, no, there is no such thing as same-sex marriage? Who's going to stand up and say, that is a baby in the womb? And I am thankful at this particular time that Planned Parenthood, a person of Planned Parenthood, while drinking their wine and having their party, admitted that they are selling aborted baby parts, which years ago, my dear friend, Senator Bob Smith, on the Senate floor, and I told him, anytime, Bob, you run for anything, I will vote for you, because you're a man of courage to bring out the truth, even though you were persecuted for it. His political career, if you will, ended the day that he stood up years ago on the floor of the Senate and showed a diagram of, first of all, what partial birth abortion was about, and he had a tripod there, and he had a schedule on it of what they pay, what people pay for aborted baby parts. He was called a liar. He was called a fraud. He was persecuted, and his career politically was over. His political career was over. He has not been able to get elected to anything since. Not because he's not a good man and didn't get votes. Not because he couldn't get a nomination. Because the political party bosses of the Republican Party, for example, would not accept that he revealed. Because many of them have been part and parcel to being politically correct and not standing up and saying, no, you will not take the life of a child inside that mother any more than you'll take the child's life outside the womb. And there is no such thing as same-sex marriage. Now, what the Lord has promised, that He will be with us in that trial and tribulation if we choose to be with Him in being not politically correct. So we're going to see the light and the darkness being separated there, and I am very thankful for that. Many people, they will just be nothing more than a club. You know, the people come and join because they won't stand up and speak out for what's going on. Now, do we mean any harm or hurt to any of the people doing these things? No. But at the same time, why does judgment have to start at the house of God, and we have to show who's on the Lord's side? Because we care enough. First of all, it's not that we care so much for people. first. We can't. If you care more about people than you care about the Lord, you'll always get into trouble. Because then you're an idolater. You're worshiping creation instead of the Creator. It's the same thing as we look at the Declaration of American Independence. It says that we have been endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. We have not been given privileges by government or people. And that's a very important understanding that we have to really continue to say that, teach that, believe that, show that. Judgment starts at the house of God first, right? First of all, we're not going to be ashamed, as verse 16 in that chapter says. Not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this behalf. We glorify God when we stand up and we say, this is what I believe. No matter what you do to me, no matter how you try to harm me, no matter how you want to find me, no matter what you're going to say you're going to do to me, the truth is the truth. And I believe there are people out there of all ages that are looking to hear the truth. Because they know in their hearts that it is not right, that these things that are not natural, just like reading that hymn from Isaac Watts that talks about the mother. What mother does not want to see her child survive and to provide for the mother? It's not a natural thing for a mother to go and kill her baby in the womb. And interestingly enough, in talking to a doctor who was at Camp Constitution, Kathy heard him saying that, he and I did agree that when women and men too see their baby on the ultrasound, they're less likely to take the life of the baby, because then they have a hard place saying, that is a baby. It's not just a bunch of tissue that's in the way, like, you know, gee, I have a little polyp there that we need to cut off. And so where does it come first? As it should. The church is here to demonstrate to the world, not to have the world infect the church and to have the church be changed by the world, but that the church of Jesus going out victoriously changes the world. Who's on the Lord's side? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? And today, the differences between the church as it's viewed and the world are very narrow differences. Like standing there at the abortion mill in Las Vegas and having a woman come by and say, oh, we prayed about this and the Lord's good with it. What Lord is that that's good with killing a baby in the womb? There's no Lord except the Lord of darkness, not the Lord of life, that's good with that. But you see, that shows, okay, yeah, we get together, we sing, you know, we might even have some Bibles there, but we're not really very different from the world that we're part of. And see, historically, whenever you look through the world, I mean, for example, in England, with child labor laws and everything, it was the church. The true church of Jesus Christ had gone in and said, no, you will not do these things. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. What is my prayer for those that are on the Lord's side? You're probably going to suffer for it. You probably will. And the Lord said very plainly, those that are persecuted for my sake, if you're persecuted because you stand up for me and my word and my way, you will be blessed. And so many people will be persecuted. Some people will be martyred. Not all, but some. And they'll be blessed for it. Particularly because one day this life is over, and we go to our eternal glory, our reward. People used to say, oh yeah, going to heaven, that's our reward for life. We don't really earn it, but at the same time, we stand up for the things that are right, because they're right. And they're right not because we say so, but because the Lord has shown us that they're right. So who's on the Lord's side? And that's going to be proved, and I'm rejoicing in that, because there's a whole lot of places that we'll be able to go and say, you know what? Take that sign down off that door, because this is not where Jesus dwells. You're not on the Lord's side, so take that down. There are many whole denominations right now that use the name of Christ, and most of them don't anymore. But the ones that do, I tell them, you know what? Take the sign down. Take it down, because you're not on the Lord's side. If you're on the Lord's side, you wouldn't be out there saying how courageous people are to be identified as having sex change operations and everything else. It's total madness. It's a destruction of our civilization and our society. You know, and in future times we'll talk about this, but it's like America having a death wish. Gee, America's such a bad place. Such a bad country. We ought to commit suicide. We ought to allow ourselves to be killed off. Why? Because the enemy does not want America and the Christian church in America to survive. But you know what? We are going to survive. We are going to grow. The light and the darkness is being separated. The people who are really on the Lord's side, they're going to have to show themselves. And if you're troubled for it, hallelujah. If you're persecuted for it, the Lord said he will bless you in that. And of course, in that last verse where it says that they commit their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. And see, why do people not stand up? And when we were having lunch with this family, Kathy and I sitting there, the woman of this family, a very out front family, the husband, pretty bold guy and whatever else, she said, well, you know, the hard part is you stand up for these things, you say what's right, you know, you're risking your job, you're risking your home, you're risking your safety, you know, we've got children, you're risking all of that. And I couldn't disagree with her on that. Yeah, you are. But don't you think the Lord cares about where you live? Don't you think the Lord cares about your children or cares about your job? And he does. But see, the enemy wants to remind you, you better be politically correct. Don't show you're on the Lord's side. Keep it to yourself. But that's not biblical. And I appreciated, Kathy, when you just made the statement about a different translation about saying, you know, in Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage in the King James? And you said, why do the nations rage? Because if you look at the Great Commission of Matthew 28:19, it says, go and disciple the nations. Why do the nations rage and imagine a vain thing? Because the nations have not been discipled. They're heathen. Not all nations. This country was started to not be a heathen nation. Heathens did not start America. Christians did. And we weren't imagining a vain thing. And in many respects, what's happened now in 2015 is so similar to what was going on in England in the 1600s when people had to determine, are they on the Lord's side? And the pilgrims said, we're on the Lord's side. And they got on the Mayflower. And some people were just part of the state church that wasn't doing much of anything at all concerning what was truly right and righteous in the Lord. And many people that stood up were killed. They were executed. Just like today, there may be people that will die for this. But the truth of the matter is, if we depart this life and go to the life of glory with the Lord forever, I believe that's a great reward. It's a better thing. And some are probably going to face that just the same as we see this. I mean, you go to China and you talk to the Chinese, you talk to people in Eastern Europe, they've had to prove who's on the Lord's side. Or in Romania, when I was over in Romania, some of the people shared what they went through, and there were many that were martyred for the cause of Christ because they were on the Lord's side. And no Ceausescu, No dictator, no communist government or any of that stuff could stop them. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the strength and encouragement. Not that we would be foolish, but that we would be wise in things, Lord, that we commit our souls to you in well-doing. Don't be afraid, I'll take care of you. And for we know proving who's on the Lord's side is a wonderful and a good thing. And it's needed so much in our country right now. So we do pray right now for America, the churches of America, the Christian churches of America. Who's on the Lord's side? Let it be known. Stand up for what's right. Okay? You want to sue? Let them sue. They want to chastise, they want to ridicule us in the front page of the newspaper, do it. And the law of unintended consequences will work because it won't go to your benefit. And we do pray, Lord, that right now the Congress of the United States of America will make sure that Planned Parenthood never gets another dime. Blessings on Governor Jindal in Louisiana for stopping Planned Parenthood building there and a variety of other places. The truth is coming out. Every day more the truth is coming out. Who's on the Lord's side? Thank you, Holy Spirit, for strengthening us. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory.